where that incremental tax may be assessed if needed by the board of directors on the Citrus Research Foundation. We've got to recognize the hard work by a couple key senators, Senator Mike Haradopoulos, Senator J.D. Alexander, Representative Denise Grimsley, all really had to go the extra yard to make sure this piece of legislation was successful during this special session.
I'm Ernie Neff. You're listening to Southeast AgNet.
This is WPSL Port St. Lucie, the talk of the Treasure Coast.
Opinions expressed are those of the program host and guest and not WPSL. WPSL does not endorse products that are mentioned. Any reproduction or rebroadcast is strictly prohibited without written consent of WPSL. This show is for informational purposes. It should not be assumed that the methods and techniques presented in this show will be profitable or will not result in losses. Please consult your broker or financial specialist before you make any investment decisions.
We work hard for your money.
The Bill Chippas Show.
You, your money, and the investment opportunities today for a successful tomorrow.
This listener interactive weekly show gives you, the listener, an opportunity to call in and ask your personal investment questions to show host, investment specialist Bill Chippas.
Making practical sense and sensible understanding of today's volatile stock market and removing the mystery of commodities trading.
Call in now to WPSL at 340-1590, 340-1590, and talk to Bill Chippas. And now, here's Bill.
Hello, Treasure Coast. Welcome to the Bill Chippas Show. I'm Bill Chippas. Markets acted pretty good today. Dow Jones up 173 at 11,181. S&P 500 up 18 at 1960. Well, 1196, actually. The NASDAQ, real nice move up, 38 points, 2514. So the markets ended up, you know, good. Now we had General Motors came out with their IPO today, so everybody's all happy now. The government got the thing, some of the stuff sold up there, whatever, $33 a share. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? We're going to bring in the economist, Mike King from Princeton Research. His website is princetonresearch.com, and go to BillChippasShow.com while you're watching.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, you really made a great call Tuesday morning.
I know, Mike. And leave it last story. I said no later than
Tuesday. You said you wanted to be aggressive buyer from 1175 down to 1169.
That's right.
Yes, S&P.
That's right.
And that was phenomenal.
I did get it
that
right on the button.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. And you know what? We got out of some of those this morning a little earlier, around 1190-ish in the S&P, but it was very early in the morning, and I didn't, you know, because my opinion is that you want to be aggressive buyers.
Always take windfall profits.
Rule number one.
Take windfall profits.
Take a windfall profit.
I don't know. What did you see to make such a great call? How did you do that?
Well, my plan was to buy 1169, and once it
but never got to 1169.
Right, and the Dow Jones held 11,010 to 10,960, and my plan was to buy 2 or 3 days here. It's a real simple thing I'm trying to do, and if I'm right, we're going to do this for a couple years. We're buying a mid-month correction in a bull market.
Wow.
It's real simple. The market came in real strong at the early part of the month.
Yeah.
Set its highs, pulled back, and a lot of people are bearish, and it got slapped down onto support higher than where the sellers actually want to see it go. They want to try to get the market down 3, maybe 5, 6% to get a good correction in, but it's not allowing that. Why is it not allowing that? Because the technicals of it are firm this time of year. Part of that idea is the time of year we're in. We probably made good lows in October. I said this in my biweekly at futurescom.com, that when you make a decent low in October and you take out the October highs in November, and you're higher on the month and you're higher on the year, the momentum is up and you have to try to buy a good sharp break. Now, I also knew that the
good
IPO.
Good point.
that the IPO for General Motors was coming on Thursday. And whatever week, and we all know that Uncle Sam didn't want to have a lousy market for the IPO to get to be done at. So my guess was that there was going to be good buying on the dip, and that you're going to have whatever criticism or whatever noise that
came. I'm sure Uncle Sam has nothing to do with the General Motors trading today.
No, definitely not.
Well,
no.
Mike, you know what? I make a lot of these decent calls if I'm on the right side of the market all the time. Sometimes I'm on the wrong side. But what I did is I flipped over to the bull side of the equation. We think that the economy is getting somewhat better. Looking back at past history and using the technicals that I use, which are more predictive rather than reactive. Most analysts are using technical work that's reactive, that they react to a market going down, and then, okay, well, if it's going down, we're going to sell. My work is indicative of saying if it does something at one price, it's going to yield another price as long as it holds a general range. The Dow...
Your call was worth a lot of money. If you had just bought across the board, like if you had bought Apple... At the chart point, just below 200, 300.
Right. Well, we talked about that. Right. I think it's corrective action, and I think
If you bought a number of stocks yesterday,
right?
There were tremendous profits today.
Well, we also bought we bought yesterday and late in the day too, and then we kicked that out this morning. But now I'm remaining bullish, remaining long, but we're let go the extra inventory. Taken down on a dip, and we want to remain long because I think this market can move higher. The question is, how does it set back from here? And nobody knows that. So we're going to have to, but in the broader picture, I think we'll be higher into spring.
Well, nobody knows what the market's going to do.
Nobody knows, but
yeah, it's true.
That's why we try to be totally balanced.
I think being balanced is good. Now, if the Dow pulls back to 11,010 again, it'd say it could chop down against these areas several times. But I think that I don't think highs are in. And what I mean by that is I don't think that you're seeing the highest prices for the current movement. I think those will come in the spring. And, Mike, we talked about that on this show on Thursday and a couple of weeks ago, in fact, that typically, you know, we've had an election that's friendly. There's got to be some kind of attitude change by investors.
Well, I don't know that the election itself.
No, Mike, it's not that. I'm just saying there's got to be. We've got to start
looking. Look at the Dow, and where do you think on December 31st, 1999, the Dow closed 11,499.
I understand that.
Okay, so we're nowhere near that area.
No, but
we're still below it.
Right, but there's other markets that have breached it.
We've had 11 years of
nothing. It's really disgusting.
So this could be a big. This could be a whole base.
Right. That's why I think we're going to break out.
Or it could be a top.
Well, that's very possible too. But we'd rather not go down
negative,
that road.
Yeah,
if you want to get negative and
want
to get bearish, there's a lot of stuff we can throw it. But Mike, we've the pattern that we're exhibiting is one that's starting to very look like the pattern of 2003, late 2003 into 2004.
Just in the chatter that you hear in our business,
right?
Some strange stuff going on. They're talking about. You know, a lot of innovative type ideas and broadcasting and stuff. And they're also talking about a whole consolidation thing similar to what, you know, we saw back in 1996. Now, I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. But, you know, there's a buzz we haven't had in 3 years.
Right.
I mean, there
is. And a normal business cycle is like a 3 or 4 year cycle. And what I think Mr. Bernanke... And I'm one of his critics about the I'll be very honest. I'm very critical of the QE and all of that, because I want to see things let on their own, work on their own. But I believe in rather than trying to
really cause inflation. What the man is trying to do is normalize the business cycle.
There is no inflation from QE.
I understand.
You can't see it, and you can't trade it.
No, things are right. In my analysis, Mike, of all the different commodities and things, and I do that, we're very normal. We're having normal seasonal patterns in a variety of things, are doing what they're supposed to do. Beans are supposed to go up this time of year. They that's why they ran up in October. And so there's a lot of people are getting a little anxious about the pricing of commodities because they're higher, but they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to run up and make lows in October, which they did at $10, $10.80, they rise and for whatever reasons. So gold is supposed to rise until spring. We talked about that, and maybe February. Now, my picture might change.
So how do you explain petroleum?
Petroleum is supposed to rise towards the end of the year. And it's actually not as explosive as the rest of these things.
Well, there were some frightening numbers that they gave on Fox.
What, $150 and all of that?
$162.
Well, $162. Some guy's going to come out on Fox and say it's going to $162 a barrel.
That's what he said.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. They just brought out the electric car. The next big bulge will probably be the highest price we're ever going to see in oil again. And for the next 10 years, it may go down to 20 or 30. But what's going to happen? But we don't know that.
Yeah.
So I'm saying 70 to 80. I would prefer a cheap oil price for the consumer, but we're not going to get that. Okay, that's not happening right now. Maybe I'd like the oil I bought at $83. Now it's 82 today, 81. And I did buy gold, and while the radio show was on Tuesday, mm-hmm. but we got out of that gold this morning.
Okay.
We took our profits and ran because we don't know. I don't know if these, I mean, gold are probably going to run up till December, but from a trading standpoint, from an investing standpoint, might as well just stay long and see what happens in the fall, in the early winter. Mike, you were tops in gold. Usually, it'll happen maybe sometime after January. It's a trend. But
yeah, like. The end of January, early February is usually.
Right, and so I'm a buyer, but maybe at that point in time, I might not be such a decent buyer on a break. I'd rather see what I'd like to see in the broader picture, and I know this is a big call here, is gold can go up to $1,500 and drop down to 12 or 13 and flop like that for a year or two, for all we know. I'd like to see the stock market work its way higher, slowly, incrementally work its way up. The dollar, all the noise about the dollar is, again, looks okay on the charts, but it's probably, you know, that's going to be a play for investors and traders. But through all this mess, I'd like to see the stock market, corporations, and America get better and slowly increment. Now, in 2003, October, and I went back and even looked at my old newsletters, we had jobless claims numbers of 350,000.
2003,
jobless claims. The weekly numbers were 350 and moving lower. We're now at 430. You get this jobless claims number under 400, you're going to see a very firmness in the stock market, a very, very, very tight range and a lifting up. And it may lift up, like the Dow may end up going to 12,300 or 400. The transports may get to 5,300. Now, the question is, what are we going to do if we can't drive a car and use our phone? Because they're going to put scramblers in the phone in the cars now. You can't use the phone in the car, right? Government wants to scramble all the signals.
Come on, that's absurd.
So how's the transportation going to rise if I have to ride a horse to the show? Right, Mike? We need government to stay out of the way.
The transportation index is one of the strongest. That's really the brightest.
These are very these patterns, Michael and Greg. Mike, you know as well as I do, if we can break the general market, if the general market moves up, a.k.a. in the same pattern as what IBM did or what Apple did, then there's 10 to 20, 30% upside move coming over the next year or two. The technical work's there. The issue is, and the scary part is, or do we all end up like what happened with Cisco, and Cisco's stock collapsed after it gave a bad outlook or people weren't happy with it. Whatever the case was, it fell through the October lows, Mike. That's not bullish. That's negative. So we are in a critical area,
and we are at a critical period. There's a lot of bulls and a lot of bears. But the work indicates that we're going to see higher highs than what we've seen now, which means that we're in a bullish pattern with higher highs coming, and it should last till spring. If that's the case, we should have a good 2 to 3 year run. Doesn't have to go crazy. We've got Congress. Is now we have a split congression, you know, split Congresses where one's Democratic, one's Republican. That's somewhat friendly. You can't have everybody in the same party wreaking havoc across the whole country because they'll start to go in ways that we don't know. The dollar isn't an issue in my mind. In fact, Mike, I'll say this much. The dollar strength, the currencies actually are actually following the stock market. Okay, the stock market stayed steady through the debacle from Ireland and all the noise that strengthened the dollar on Wednesday and Thursday, Mike. We had a big low in currencies. The euro hit 134.40, which is a key number of mine, to 133.60 area, and it bounced off of that. But they didn't start their bounce until after the stock market was firming up over the last couple of days. So the stock market really never gave up its technical, its posture. I'll say it's not out of bounds. It's fine.
Didn't the president get barbecued because of the strength of the dollar?
The dollar's about to unchanged on the companies. Year. You know what? The countries, they're all talking gibberish. Bernanke had a meeting, closed-door meeting with senators and rebutted that a couple days ago.
Okay.
Okay, good. So really, really, this is the time of the month where you should get a little bounce into, say, Monday. Then we'll find out, Mike. Now, we're also before Thanksgiving. Why am I going short before Thanksgiving? Historically, that's been a good thing to buy, right? You want to buy the dip, right, Mike? You're a historian.
Well, I like picking points in advance like you did and put your orders in.
Well, we did.
So that you can get filled when the market exaggerates the move.
And then we did. We got filled, and then we took some profits this morning, and we're staying long. And we're trying to maintain a long posture, and I don't
think... Now, how can you take profits and stay long?
Well, we took profits on what we bought and on the dip, and we're remaining long from longs that we've had from a month ago, down at 1150-60 area, lower.
I see.
And we got out of some of those, and so we're remaining long postured, meaning our posture is on the up, is looking for higher prices in front of us, not looking for lower prices. So if the market rallies into Thanksgiving or in the next couple of days, we'll let some more go. But we'll try to maintain a long posture. But we also want to reduce the exposure because over the holiday, who knows what's going to happen in Europe. They could end up with another default, bankruptcy, and cause the market to sell off again. But I want to buy the breaks. I don't want to sell the market expecting it to go down and then having to scramble on getting only a shallower dip than what most people are looking for. Most people are trying to say 5 to 8% declines, we may not get more than 3.5% dip. Now, if that's the case, we could rise for a couple years, then go sideways, and then somewhere out in 2003, 4 years from now, curve up through the top, and we're going to end up with a 20,000 Dow, guys. Right.
Whoa.
Right. Mike, we can dream, can't we? He's over there.
No,
Mike,
comment.
He's already he's having a heart attack already.
You've called it pretty well.
I'm trying to be a little forward. I'm trying to be well. You asked me. I'm trying to be friendly. I think the economy is getting better. Now that's all I can see is what we have.
But the market, as you know, the market forecasts 6 months out.
Right.
So what's it going to be 6 months from now?
You know what? If we can get the S&P to close over 1232, then the target would be up against. Really 1268, 1275, and then 1304, 1310. We're taking out. What we're doing is we're just backing in. We're going through the price action that that the market lost in October of 2008. So, if we start to do that, then it becomes very powerful and it measures up a lot higher. So, if the pattern and if the technicals are right, and if the economy is right, and if we don't have a lot of external problems from everywhere else, and they kind of dampen that with whatever liquidity they're putting in, and companies can grow, and we can get unemployment down, say, in the 8.5% to 8% range over the next year or so, and you can bring jobless claims down under 400 and work towards the 350 level, there's a possibility that we may be able to see the Dow
up against the 2006 area, Mike, which is 12,500. And I said this on a show a couple weeks ago. So what I'm thinking is, if we made a good low this week, then what people should be preparing for is probably about a 600-point rally in the Dow up to that 11,680, taking out that 1999 high. And then it's going to be a rough slug, back and forth, but not big declines, not huge momentous declines. Now, I could be wrong. This volatility that we've seen, sometimes when a market chops around like it has the last couple of days, down 300 points, up 200, it's getting ready to do something.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we have another test of lows.
I still have my orders in, 1169. I still have those in case it goes down there. But we stepped in a little ahead of it with some orders got filled. The Russell got filled. So we're trying to, and that's why we exited some into the hoopla today in order to gather ammo and be prepared for further dip if it happens. Do I want to go short? Not really. I really don't want to go short in front of Thanksgiving. I really don't want to have to worry about that. I want we see a normal, let the country be happy for a bit. Okay, we had a lot of pain the last few years, everywhere, left and right. House prices down 70%. The last time we had this many House congressional state legislative seats change, 600 and something state seats changed, Mike. We haven't had that happen since 1919. And I'll tell you what, I'll take 70 something years, 80 years. Okay. I'll take the roaring 20s rather than the last 3 years. We'll worry about another bubble somewhere down the road, Mike, you know. But get us out of this area here. Sometimes I think the market's...
Well, it's going to take creative thinking to get out of it.
Well, that's right. Well, Greg, what are you doing
creatively?
That's
what the Fed is doing.
Yeah.
You have to give them credit.
I'm not complaining about anything. I think, the commodity markets are acting very seasonal in nature. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Well, let's welcome Ronnie Steinacker from Barron Energy.
Speaking of commodities, Barron Energy is an oil producer out of the Permian Basin,
Texas.
In Texas. And, boy, I'll tell you what, they're in the oldest producing area of oil in the country. It's been producing oil since, again, here we go, 1920s.
Are they still in this country, Texas?
Yeah, we still have Texas.
They haven't.
There's no cessation yet.
I'm just checking.
I think Texas may take over the rest of the U.S.
I'm glad Ronnie's
here. Hey, Ronnie, how about that idea, huh?
Hey, Ronnie.
Well, yes, sir.
Did you happen to watch 60 Minutes on Sunday?
I did.
On the natural
gas
thing.
Chesapeake Energy thing?
Yeah, what was your reaction to that?
I don't know. Chesapeake's spending a lot of money there, so they're going to obviously tout it. It's what they're doing, you know, as far as I know, shale wells are very expensive, and you kind of got to be a big company to do it.
But they've been very productive. EOG has gotten huge production.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, $10 million a well, it's obviously not in our ballpark, but I guess, you know, those guys don't play in our background and we don't play in their background. So,
do you actually see that becoming a reality, or is that just, we've heard so much about shale over the last 40 years and nothing's happened yet. I mean, is that even doable?
As an engineer, shale, I don't know. It's not a reservoir, so that's part of why the wells are so expensive. They have to be hydraulically fracked, and you know, they take a long time to drill. But that just shows you, the scarcity of oil and gas in the United States, and folks are going to some, large extremes to try to find more energy for the United States. And
we have
oil.
There's
only one way to do it, but you have to be a big player to be in that.
Now, Barron Energy, the symbol is B-R-O-E-E?
Yeah, we got an E today.
What's the extra E for?
The E's because we didn't get our financials filed on time, but we're working on that. We're kind of working our accounting issues. It's really no big issue. It's okay. Really just a matter of paperwork. We've been trying to. last time we talked, I thought we had, we merged three companies back in February, and I think operationally and in the field and everything is going just fine.
Okay, good.
Pleased with that. But you merge three companies, it certainly creates a lot of.
When do you expect the? Passage. When do you expect you guys to do the filings?
When we'll get them out?
Yeah.
It'll probably be after Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's quick.
I think everything's finished except just some of the accounts.
Now, Baron Energy is in the Permian Basin, and you've been in the energy business how long?
32 years.
All right, so you
hardly a rookie.
No, you're not a rookie. I'm not going to ask
you. If you're
a
rookie, then it's a public
county.
That's right. Yeah.
Your oil production. Mike. Why don't you give Mike? It's rather than have me have Ronnie give a description of the company. Why don't you do it, Mike?
This is really a gem. This is just a wonderful opportunity, and I think there was a lot of selling because of the extra E, and the E does cause people to lose confidence, and that's a normal thing.
Right.
Because a lot of times, if accounting is late, people think that
something
is wrong.
Right.
But in this particular case, it's a buying opportunity. And they have a number of properties, and they have excellent talent, and they have a low overhead. So they're definitely a value.
Now,
I'm happy to say that, and I'm happy to put my money into it.
It's Baron Energy. It's only 6 cents a share. Now, this is highly speculative, but your production, you're expecting to try to build the company's production from where it's at, which is minimal right now because you're just in the phase one of your plan. Am I right, Ronnie?
Well, right. You're still doing 50, 60 barrels a day.
We do roughly 1,000 barrels a month. So that's
very good.
Times 80. That's our revenue is $80,000 a month right now, and so
that's
pushing $1 million a year. And we're we're an acquisition business oriented company, so we're working on a couple acquisitions. One is fairly large. It's bigger than Baron now, and we've been working on that since May. We put a press release out. In late spring, I think, we had finished our due diligence and technical and commercial, and we've just been spending a lot of time trying to get the thing funded. And I think business has picked up considerably since Labor Day. It's hard to do things in the summer.
Right.
And we're now in the middle of... all the paperwork that comes with a large acquisition, attorneys and lawyers and title work on the properties. And we started that right around toward the late October. And of course, then in West Texas, you have deer season that shuts things down for a week or two. And now we're rolling into Thanksgiving.
Wait a minute, Greg, you got a question.
Get it done before
there?
Christmas, or else it won't get done until after New Year.
What are you saying there?
Are you
get the deer hunting done?
No way.
Deer hunting, but some of the folks that we're working with all went deer hunting.
Yeah, they're out there. Well, this is.
It happens every year. The first week in November. Everybody goes,
gotta love it.
The deer don't stand a chance. The company's doing good. This acquisition will more than double our revenue and production, maybe by not quite the two. And, we're in the paperwork. The paperwork on a large acquisition is the same as a small one. It's just a lot thicker.
What do you think your plans are to try to build the production up to how much?
Our goal is 1,000 a day, which would be 30,000 a month.
So you want to increase the revenue
by the end of 2012.
So within 4 years, you want to increase the size of the production by 30 times.
Right, and. A good first step would get it up to about 3,000 a month, which is kind of what we're working on now.
You mean 300 a month?
3,000 a month. 3,000 barrels a month.
3,000 barrels a month. And you want to do you want to get up to 1,000.
240,000. Dollars a month.
Mike, could you have an example of a company that's doing, do you know of a company that's doing 1,000 barrels a day?
Well, Baron Energy.
Sure, it just takes time to get there.
No, but just to give us an idea of what a stock can do when something like this, if they follow through with their plan, what's the potential in it?
Well, Brigham, BEXP, Brigham Exploration, started like that. I mean, it was a tremendous opportunity, BEXP. I mean, and BEXP is trading like around $25, let's say, a share.
Right.
So, in other words, there is no question about it that if Barron gets their production there, it could easily trade at it'll easily trade at double digits, like $10.
Right, and that's kind of what Lucas has done too.
Lucas is on its way.
Right.
Lucas, I mean, it's tough growing.
BEXP was a lot of 70, money. And BEXP in 2000 was 80-90 cents. So these companies,
wow,
all they have to do is go out
and do what they say.
And do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
And especially in energy, because energy we're going to need, I don't care how many volts they make, it don't matter. We're going to need a lot of oil in this country because we want to be self-sufficient. We are short on oil. I mean, as far as production-wise, for the supply of this country, we're just going to, you know, and China's just going to eat it all up anyway. We all know that whole story. What price, Ronnie, of oil do you need to satisfy your plan?
Our cost for production?
Well, no. What price of oil do you need to stay around?
$30 about. Yeah. One thing that we're you know, it's sort of good to just kind of reiterate it. We're not looking for the properties to add the Barron. We've already found them. What we're trying to do is negotiate and close them.
Right.
So we found them over the last year.
Well, you've
so
done
it's not
that
like
work.
We have to go out and find these.
No,
properties.
No, I know
all
that.
You
guys
do close the paperwork on them. So, you know, finding them's probably most
of them. You found
them. Okay, you could have bought BEXP at $1.50
right
in March 2009.
Right, exactly. And
it's 25 now.
That's right.
Whoa.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they made a good run. Right.
Yeah. We'll see.
Another one, Mike, I think those guys at Petro Resources that bought out Petro Resources, and who was that company? They ran up pretty good.
Well, now, Ronnie, have you ever done something like this before? I mean, you've been in the business 30 years. Now, as a private.
Oh, we've done it privately. We
okay.
In 2001, we started a company at zero, and we went to 500 barrels a day, which would be 15,000 a month in 3 years.
Okay.
Sold some assets from that. It was a West Texas. It was in the area we work in West Texas.
Right.
We've never done it as a small public company, and so we have this added layer of accounting and auditing.
Well, I can understand that.
Paperwork and lawyers. But as far as the two acquisitions we're working on will get us halfway to our goal.
Good.
So the goal is to get the attorneys and the lawyers. And
the goal is to either get rid of the deer or get the attorneys in the office.
The paperwork and get it closed. So.
I'm
a petroleum engineer, not a lawyer, so I spend a lot of time.
When do you expect some of these closings to occur and some of this some more?
Well, we're trying to do our big one before the end of the year.
Okay, good.
And that'll be followed up in the first quarter by the second one. So.
So that
there's
one,
some advantages for everybody to get it closed.
It's the same as Lucas.
It sounds very similar. So this would almost double production then.
It would a little more than double it.
Right, and then so 6 months from now, let those guys do their work, go out and produce their oil, and let them do what they're supposed to do here because this is if they've done this now. Financing, all that. How would I mean, you're not going to dilute the shares a whole lot. You don't have there's not that many shares outstanding.
We'll be using mostly bank debt.
Okay.
Which is pretty reasonable with the Texas Energy Bank. We've already met with the bank.
Great.
And we have another meeting with the bank a week from Monday.
Great, great. And there we all know the story of Texas, that it's a very pro business and very pro getting things done.
Okay. And it's good to have an energy bank. So we, right. When we went public from our private companies, you know, one of the recommendations by advisory folks is to get an energy bank.
We get an energy bank.
That's interesting. Are they in Houston?
They're in Dallas.
In Dallas. Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Never heard of them.
Huh. Now, as far as the area of Texas where you're at, we talked about the Permian Basin just a moment ago. It's been around a long time, and it's pretty prolific for oil.
It is. And the we only work in a small part of the basin, but the area that we have circled to work in produces about 600,000 barrels a day of oil, and it's a very oily area in the U.S. We've worked in it 10 years, and actually, as I'm talking you guys, I'm standing in Fort Worth, which is it's a twin city to Dallas, and Lisa Hamilton, our CFO, and I are up here for partner meetings tomorrow to try to start closing. We seem to almost get closed, and then we have to go meet, so that's what we do. We go meet.
Well,
good. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, it'll happen. It'll happen. It's only a matter of... We want to get it done this year for some tax reasons to the seller, and obviously we want to get our production up as soon as possible. So then we need to get that E off that ticker, and we'll be back to the races.
Well, just keep going for it.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah, it does sound fine. So you're going to get your financials done. You hope to get them done by Thanksgiving?
It'll be right after Thanksgiving.
Right after Thanksgiving, so in a couple
because
weeks.
Because I'm pretty sure accountants don't work during Thanksgiving. Engineers do because they're in the field with the rigs.
Yeah,
I'm betting they take off. So.
Engineers do. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. All right, Ronnie, go to your meeting. You have a great day, okay?
All right. Thanks, guy. We'll talk to y'all later.
Talk to y'all later. Now, that's Ronnie Steinacker from Baron Energy. Go to the website, baronenergy.com. All the links for that at BillChippisShow.com. And, of course, Mike's got a whole report on Baron Energy at Princeton Research. You can link to that from Bill Chippis Show also. We'll be right back with Mike King and myself, joined by the engineer, Greg, who's going to work on Thanksgiving.
Rick, after a quick commercial,
we'll be right back.
What, you're not going to be here?
No,
I would open up just that. For you. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The engineer.
Futurescom, an independent advisor and research firm, helping you make sound investment decisions. Enjoy the perspective of over 26 years market and industry experience in global equities and commodities, precious metals, foreign exchange, and more. Professional guidance not driven by commission. For traders who want to materially improve their success rate, Futurescom. Call us today or visit Futurescom.com to learn more about a 2-week free trial.
Call 866-409-3890.
It is 646 WPSL 1590, the talk of the Treasure Coast, and WPSL TV, webcaster to the world. We're bringing that back.
Worldwide.
Talk of the Treasure Coast, webcaster to the world, has not been used since 2000. It's coming back.
Coming back, right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's going to be a beautiful thing when we get this this going, Greg.
Betcha.
But on Thanksgiving, you're going to actually probably, you know, let the football games and stuff go, right?
Oh, yeah.
So on Thursday night, next Thursday, 1 week from today, I will not be here.
Oh.
I will be celebrating Thanksgiving, and I want all the listeners to have a great and happy Thanksgiving in this wonderful world and country that we have. And all the military people, I wish them to be have a happy and great Thanksgiving also. And you too, Mike. Now, you're not going to be around, Mike.
Thanks.
On now, what happens in the stock market historically, Mike? Here's something I want to stress.
Trend following period.
Okay.
The market is firm going into Thanksgiving. It'll be firm the day after Thanksgiving.
So we want to see normal. I'm trying to get normalcy here. Normalcy in the stock market. I want to see. I don't want to have to worry about whether Ireland's going to collapse or Portugal or Greece or Spain or any of that noise anymore. But those are issues. Okay? Those are issues. But they should not be issues for those of us in this country, even though...
Chippis, your lovely Greek isles have already collapsed.
I would wish that they sell the Parthenon to cover their debts, and that would be fine with me.
The TD Waterhouse Parthenon.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Mike, what do you think of that idea? They can do that, can't they?
It's been a gigantic TD.
Can't you call it the Exxon Parthenon, or even how about the you know, something like that, whatever, right? That should give them a few billion, huh?
The Stock Traders Almanac has definite trading ideas.
Okay, tell us.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Tell us about those.
Go for it.
I was just trying to find it to.
Well, I think if you buy it the day before and sell the day after, it's a technical trade. Now, again, last year we had a disaster on Thanksgiving morning because we had the Dubai debacle. Okay, the whole threat of insolvency of the banks in Dubai, and so that's what this market, that's what the bears want, Mike. They want a worldwide collapse. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm probably going to be wrong here, but I'll say we already had that noise. We're done. Let those issues be resolved in those countries and in the bond markets. Let those issues be resolved. It should not affect. We want to try to not let that affect our thinking in the economy and trying to move forward with innovation, technology, and numerous things in this country to get us out of this rut, because we've been in a rut now for a couple years, whether we like it or not. And if things have normalized, then we should see a reasonably calm period with an upward sloping market until spring, and then we'll all have to worry about where it goes from there. But I'm looking for a higher market, you know. I think, and whether it's on good earnings or whatever reasons, taxes can be fixed. We have big issues with taxes. Is President Obama and the lame duck Congress going to take care of the Bush tax cuts? I don't know.
We're talking about a 2-year extension.
Whatever they do. I mean, I think they passed a health care plan on Christmas Eve. So who knows what they're going to do? But they really ought to work on that. Okay, so there's a lot of structural issues in the country. Housing's still a mess. So we can get negative, but the market acts okay. All right, and that's what we try to follow here. And guys like Ronnie are out trying to create a business plan to do something for the next 2 or 3 years or even farther down the road. So we want to find these small companies and find the next set of innovators and things, even here, down here at the radio station. Greg, you're doing something here that's never going to be done, that's never been done so far.
No, not so far. We'll be the first.
We'll be the first.
Probably about 3,000 or 4,000 other operations soon thereafter.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good thinking. There's a better feel to things. The contacts that I have at the retail level are telling me business has picked up. Companies that had laid off, moved people around, are hiring. So I expect the unemployment numbers to start drifting somewhat in a better direction. And I'd like to see, I'm not looking for a big, huge boom. I don't know what the economy will do GDP-wise. And it doesn't, for me, I'm just trying to say things appear better.
Mike, what about you guys in Vegas? I know Port St. Lucie and Vegas and Fresno were about the fastest growing areas in the country.
Yes, and I wouldn't say that Vegas is growing, but the amount of people coming to visit is growing.
Okay. That's a start.
People taking vacations.
So there's people here. There's people. Well, there's another thing you're seeing a lot more down here. You're seeing more
snowbirds.
So that means that the east and the northern parts of the country have loosened up a little bit. So those who normally would go to Vegas, like Mike, or come down to Florida, are doing so. So that's a good sign too. So we're trying to see if the economy is somewhat getting back to normal. Do you see that in Vegas, Mike?
Absolutely.
Well, that's,
so there's a tremendous influx of
and how
shoppers.
And how long before would you say that once you start seeing the body counts, as we say, the milling around of people starting to take effect?
This economy is different. You have to understand that what this economy needs, a lot of people don't really understand it.
Well,
this economy needs new forms of energy. It's all about energy. And the key will be the ability of the economy and the world to develop new means of energy. This will be the key to the next 10 years. Real estate is passe. It's not going to be real estate again.
Right. But we want the housing market to not break down and fall out of bed anymore. We would like to see that part of the economy, get itself in a little better shape. I'm not looking for a real estate boom, but I do think that you'll see prices should start to, if they haven't stabilized already, they should become. You should see a better situation in the next couple of years.
Well, I have friends who are traveling around in like certain areas of the West, just north of where Mike is in Nevada, and they're traveling into towns that are sitting there going, "What recession?"
Right.
Because they never had the boom.
They never got the bust.
So they never got our bust.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And right. They're going great guns now.
Well, that, you know, it depends on what happened, where it was, what was located. You know, the liquidity and the bubbles, swept into areas. But Mike's got the great idea with the energy thing. And, I mean, I don't care what energy it is, all of it. I don't really care. They can do anything they want. I mean, we sat here in 2004 or 5 when oil was starting to rise. In 2005 and 6, and we said anything, just get it all done. Now we want an energy policy out of Congress. Well, we never got one. There's a lot of things we never got. All I'm trying to focus on is the market. If the Dow holds 11,010 like it did, and maintains a posture above it like it is, and starts to close over, say 11,084, really for
me. Look, the Fed is very smart, but it doesn't run the markets. The markets run the Fed, right. And you can see from the markets that the Fed policies are winning.
Gold's up to $7 a night. Now, if gold can stand on top...
No, forget gold. Think about the economy.
Well, that's what
gold
I'm trying
to... Gold is just one very small market.
Right. I'm trying to be long the stock market on a broader scale, looking for a higher price.
But even better yet, the economy is growing.
Well, that's right.
And that might not have happened had the Fed policies been much different.
Well, I am all for just normalizing things. Just get the thing.
You can't normalize until you get back to equilibrium.
Well, that's right.
We were so far below
that
we needed to shake it up to get back up there.
Mike, what did the successful IPO of General Motors do? I mean, is it kind of a reaffirmation, at least if you hear the White House saying we actually did the right thing?
Certainly. It's more right than, of course.
I'm happy to see him come back. I'd like to see the government get out of there as soon as possible, but I don't want to, again, I think the Volt looks really interesting. I mean, plug it in. The guy, one of the people was, one of the Car and Driver magazine,
If
think,
you're
today.
Just driving in,
so I can tell you
great.
The Volt is nothing special, but GM is very much into innovations.
Well, we need that in this country, okay? And we need a lot of things to be done, but all I'm trying to say is
and they're doing it. They're into it.
I'm happy. Let them go. Bring it on. Because America needs a lot of things to be changed. You know, there's still 9.5% unemployment or more. It may go to 10 for all I know. I don't know. But I can say this. If the Dow holds like it did and we don't break down a lot, we will test 11,300. So maybe by after Thanksgiving, Mike, we can see the Dow test 11,300, 11,400. And then, of course, where it closes at the end of the month and at the end of the year will matter. But technically, I want to buy breaks. I don't want to get short.
What does 11,499 mean to you?
That's the high of 2,000, right? The high of
that
the
was the
Christmas
high.
Christmas, that was January 1st. January
1st. 11,499 was the close December of 1999.
Right. Oh. And the high was around 11,700. Then we plunged. So we need
so
to
here
get,
we are, 11 years in a bear market.
Wow.
We've been in a secular bear market. And they usually last
for 11
about,
years.
They usually last 17 years.
So we
should be halfway to three quarters through it with the lower, if we were right earlier this year and or last year, and the lows are already in. It's very possible.
What will be the impetus to get us out of this funk that we're in? What is the impetus? Well, let's say one is very low interest rates.
Right.
You certainly have that.
Right.
Very low interest rates. The cost of money is not very high, is it?
No. Nope.
Not for someone with a good idea.
Nope.
So money is obtainable. Okay? What else do you need? You need people.
Right. We have plenty of them.
They're kind of easily attainable now, aren't they?
That's right.
So, and the other thing that you need is lacking a little bit, and that is new ideas. Ideas, especially for energy. This has been lacking.
Right. Well, they'll come, Mike.
We need to produce lots of forms of energy to be more competitive and get the price of oil down.
Well, eventually, I think that's going to happen, but we're probably at the early stages. We'll probably see higher prices before we see lower, which is part of the healing process, okay? Listen,
yeah.
We got to go here because we only got 1 minute left. And, Mike, I want you to have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on the show. All the listeners, go to PrincetonResearch.com. Mike, have a happy Thanksgiving. Greg, you too.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
And we'll see, Michael,
happy Thanksgiving.
We'll see where the market.
Thanks to you, and talk to you the week after.
Talk to you the week after, and we'll see where the markets are after Thanksgiving. Look for the Dow to test 11,300. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Listening to WPSL and WPSL TV, Port St. Lucie.
Three missing people found dead in Ohio.
As a sheriff of this county for the past 18 years, I have never